We continue with Numbers 28, verse 16, through the end of chapter 29, and we'll do the same thing. We start in verse 16. On the 14th day of the first month, the Lord's Passover is to be held. On the 15th day of this month, there is to be a festival. For 7 days, eat bread made without yeast. Jump down to verse 26. On the day of first fruits, when you present to the Lord an offering of new grain, and during the festival of weeks, hold a sacred assembly and do no work. Chapter 29, verse 1. On the first day of the seventh month, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. It is a day for you to sound the trumpets. Down to verse 7. On the 10th day of this seventh month, hold a sacred assembly. You must deny yourselves and do no work. And then verse 12, on the 15th day of the seventh month, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. Celebrate a festival to the Lord for 7 days. And then it goes on to describe all the 7 days of the Festival of Tabernacles. So within this, we see these seasonal rhythms. It's a story of a year. Over the course of the year, these festivals help God's people live into a new way of being. This is a rhythm for seasonal remembrance. They help tell the big story of God's work. Right, Passover, the celebration of salvation and rescue, the flight from Egypt. The Feast of Weeks was a celebration of God's abundance. Later, the Feast of Weeks is incorporated celebrating the gift of the Torah at Mount Sinai, the story of God's presence being made manifest among Israel. The Festival of Trumpets later becomes known as Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. It's the announcement of a new era, that things are starting afresh with the Declaration of Trumpets. The next is the Day of Atonement, celebrated still today as Yom Kippur, a day of self-denial, and the day when wrongs were righted, when debts were repaid. We have God's salvation, God's presence and abundance among them. We have the start of a new era, the promise that things will be set right, and then the Festival of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles was a remembrance of the time when they lived in the wilderness in tents. And later, the Feast of Tabernacles would become associated with their hopes for a Messiah who would give them independence. And it also became associated with prayers for rain, that God would provide water, as happened in the wilderness. These festivals told an important story over the year. It rehearsed the major themes of God's people, themes of deliverance, themes of God's providence and abundance, themes of God's forgiveness and grace. And of course, part of what we see in these festivals is the beauty of having time set aside over the course of the year where the community comes together and celebrates the story of our faith. Right, there's a reason that we as a church gather outside of Sunday morning on the days that we do. Right, the seasonal rhythm of our life involves gathering on Christmas, for instance, to remember the good news of Jesus' birth. Gathering on New Year's Eve to look back on God's faithfulness through the year and anticipate God's faithfulness in the year to come. We gather on Ash Wednesday to remind ourselves of our mortality and to prepare for a season of repentance. We gather on Maundy Thursday to remember Jesus' sacrifice. And even though it is on Sunday, we gather on Easter Sunday, of course, to remember the resurrection of Jesus. And we gather on Thanksgiving Day, a day that we mark as a day set aside for remembering God's faithfulness. It's a God-given blessing to be able to mark the big picture stories of the story of Jesus and the story of the Christian faith and these big themes in God's story. But one of the beauties of the festivals is the way that they map onto various pieces of the Christian story, and particularly the ways that they map onto Jesus' life. Passover, of course, overlaps directly with Easter, when Jesus gathers with his disciples on Maundy Thursday to celebrate Passover and institutes a new Exodus. The first festival given to Israel becomes the high festival for Christians when we celebrate the freedom given to us through Jesus' death and resurrection. The Feast of Weeks, celebrating God's abundance and the gift of the Torah. Well, it soon becomes known as Pentecost, when the abundance of God's Spirit is poured out. On the day of Pentecost, the celebration of the Feast of Weeks, when the presence of God that had been present on Mount Sinai comes and dwells among the church, as we looked at last Sunday. The Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, the announcement of a new era, to blow the trumpets to anticipate what is to come in the new year, reminds us of the angels singing the praises of the King who had been born in Bethlehem, the announcement of the start of a new creation. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Here in Numbers 29, we learn that the Day of Atonement is to be marked by self-denial. And of course, as we hear that, we think of Jesus' words, "Whoever wishes to be my disciple must take up their cross, deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." And the Feast of Tabernacles, associated with the Jewish hopes for independence, associated with their hopes for a Messiah, their hopes that God would once again provide living water as God had done in the desert. Well, the Gospel of John tells us in chapter 7 that on the last and greatest day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." And upon hearing his words, people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." Of course they did. He's standing at a feast that anticipates the coming Messiah, a feast that prays that God would provide rain. And Jesus stands up and says, "I'm the water you're looking for. Whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within them." Think back to what we saw before when Miriam died. God had provided them living water that flowed from the rock. Miriam dies and the rock dries up, and God tells Moses, "Speak to the rock." And Moses hits it, because it was supposed to be the word that brought forth the water from the rock. And now the Gospel of John says the word became flesh. And now on the last day of the festival in the Gospel of John, the festival that celebrates God's people dwelling in the wilderness, Jesus stands up and says, "I give you living water. Whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within them." It ties it back to the Feast of Tabernacles, ties it back to when they lived in the wilderness, and Jesus says, "This is what you've been looking for." The festivals, yes, that are God-blessed seasonal practice to remind them of the major themes of the story of their redemption, of their salvation, of their atonement, their forgiveness, all of these wonderful things that are celebrated in this seasonal practices. But ultimately, these festivals look ahead to the one who will fulfill every single one of them, the one who is the true main meaning of each of these. For in Jesus we find salvation and freedom, as on Passover. In Jesus we find true abundance and the presence of the Spirit, as in the Feast of Weeks. In Jesus we find the announcement of a new era, a new way of being, as in the Feast of Trumpets. In Jesus we find the invitation to deny ourselves and follow him, as in the Day of Atonement. And in Jesus we find living water, as in the Feast of Tabernacles. What a gift. A story of grace spread out over the course of the year. Amen. Let us celebrate that story together as we sing, "With joy I heard my friends exclaim," which is really, it's an Advent song. It's one that anticipates those promises, and I think that's very fitting as we celebrate the ways in which the festivals anticipated the coming King.
Please stand to sing.